Welcome to Christ Church. Thank you for joining us this week.
Families, we are so excited. We have some really exciting news. So next Sunday at 9 a.m., we are going to be offering a Christ Church Kids program designed for the whole family. So we're hoping that you'll tune in, and we're so excited about it.
Because of all of your amazing generosity, we've been able to feed hundreds of families and children each and every week.
Thank you, guys. So there are two ways to give. The first is ChristChurchOhio.org. And the second is our Christ Church Ohio app.
Thank you, everybody. Enjoy the service.
Enjoy.
I want to begin a new sermon series this week. And it's on peace. And so over the next 10 weeks, we're going to do a deep dive into the biblical teaching on peace. But before we do, let's invite the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, you identify yourself as the God of all peace. And you teach us that peace is a natural attribute of your character. We find that peace is rare and valuable in our lives. And so I pray that through this sermon series, you would teach us how we can live in the peace that you share. And then I pray that as we live in peace, we would be peacemakers and we would be known as the children of God. Amen. Recently, Sharon and I watched a science fiction movie where 12 rocket ships showed up from outer space. They landed at 12 different places in the world, and they spoke and wrote a language so foreign to us that it took a genius to figure it out. Well, while this lady was figuring out the language, of course, humanity became frightened, and a frightened man acted in a preemptive way and detonated a bomb on the alien's ship. Well, as the story goes, they were ready for it and it didn't do any damage. But this motif, this literary idea that there are peaceful people and peaceful beings, and humanity seems incapable of living at peace with them, that permeates a lot of literature. But it's also the story of history. Mankind struggles to live at peace with each other. Everything that can possibly erode peace does. In fact, if we want to be really, really honest with ourselves, living at peace with ourselves can be a challenge. And so what the Bible says about peace, I think, is very important, and it could be at the core of living a better Christian life. Let's start with what Jesus said. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So in this verse, two times Christ says, "Peace I release to you, and my peace I give you." So I want to start with defining what I mean when I say the word peace. Peace means the condition of tranquility and quiet. And this is an internal and an external quality. I am at peace internally when I have a sense of tranquility and quiet. I'm not at peace when I have a sense of anxiety and fear. There is external peace. That is being in a condition where the things around me externally are tranquil and quiet. The second thing peace means is freedom from anxiety, oppressive thoughts, and emotions. I have peace when I'm free from anxiety and the oppressive thoughts that I run around in my head and the oppressive emotions that beat me up. This is primarily an internal quality. But if I am at peace and I'm keeping anxiety where it belongs and I'm dealing with oppressive thoughts and emotions, the probability is I will be sharing an external peace. The third definition is harmony in relationships. Peace is when I am in harmony in the relationships with the people I have around me. The fourth definition is the condition of concord or the absence of strife. This is just like the lowest common denominator of the word peace. Peace basically means you're not fighting with anybody. But I think that's the lowest common denominator, and that's not the operating definition I want to use. So let's talk about spiritual peace. What is the spiritual reality of peace? It is the spiritual condition of inner calm and harmony that is created by the presence of divine peace in the souls of those who believe in Christ. What is spiritual peace? It's this internal calm and harmony I have because the presence of God is creating divine peace within me. Let's work our way through Jesus' verse. The first thing he says is, peace I release to you. The peace of God is released freely from God's divine nature. So what do I mean by that? God is a God of peace. Peace is a divine attribute. God doesn't have anxiety. God does not have troubling and oppressive thoughts. God does not have oppressive emotions. He is a being who has tranquility, calm, and harmony. And that tranquility that is natural to his nature flows out of his presence. So when Christ said, "Peace I release to you," he's saying, what comes naturally to me is going to flow from my presence to your soul. It is the natural condition of God. When I am in his presence, there is peace. God exists in harmony. He's not anxious or troubled. So it's easy for him to share that harmony and that calm with us. Jesus said to his 12 disciples when they were sitting there with him in John's gospel, there are difficult times coming. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. The high priest and the Sanhedrin, they're going to they're not going to give me a fair trial. They're going to hand me over to the Romans. The Romans are going to mock me, spit on me, and beat me and crucify me. So I want to give you peace before all that happens. I believe in the very same way that Christ gave the original 12 peace, he wants to give us peace. The peace of Christ is not determined by all these external things that are happening around us. It's determined by the quality of his existence that he shares with us. Jesus didn't just say, I'm going to naturally release this peace to you. He also said, I'm going to proactively give it to you. This isn't going to be an unconscious flow of my goodness to you. I'm going to consciously give you my peace. In fact, he uses that word give twice. I'm going to give you peace. The peace of God is different from the peace of the culture around us. So Jesus says, I'm going to actively give you peace. And there are distinguishing differences between the peace I actively give you and the peace that you can find in culture. Cultural peace is conditional. God's peace is unconditional. What do I mean? I mean, cultural peace always has terms. We can be at peace if you do this and you don't do that. We can be at peace if you fulfill these terms. If you don't fulfill these terms, we can't be at peace. God's peace is unconditional. There aren't terms that I have to fulfill or he withdraws his peace. Cultural peace is limited. God's peace is unlimited. It seems like humanity has a limited capacity for peace. And suddenly when we think things are peaceful, situations change and all that peace is gone. How much peace and well-being was lost in the last 2 months? How much peace and well-being was lost because of things we had some control over and things we had no control over? And sadly, I want to say, if it wasn't this disease that was robbing us of our peace, it would be something else. Culture has a limited capacity for peace. God has an unlimited capacity for peace. There's never a situation that is so dire that God's peace isn't greater than the situation. Cultural peace is external. God's peace is internal. The best peace that the culture around us can give is a external peace. The police can create a peaceful neighborhood. The military can hold enemies at bay. But police and military protection can't give you internal peace. There is a difference, Jesus said, between the peace I give you and the peace that culture gives you. And then Jesus says, because I have given you this peace, I'm giving you some commands to go with it. The peace is unconditional, but he says, because this peace is available to you, I'm giving you a command, and that command is, you take responsibility and don't let your heart be troubled. That's a pretty big challenge. Christ said, I've made the peace you need available. Now you need to take responsibility and you need to confront the things that trouble your heart. You might say, it all seems so overwhelming to me. The threat of the virus, the brutality I see on the news, the tragic and devastating effects of people hating each other for no cause, our own family problems, our own financial problems, it seems like the command is too big. But I want to remind you, several chapters after chapter 14, John 16:33, Jesus said, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Affliction, trouble, anxiety are normal conditions in every culture. There's never been a culture that didn't generate affliction. There's never been a culture that didn't have trouble. There's never been a culture that didn't create anxiety. In every generation, in every culture, there's problems. The issues seem different, but the loss of peace is the same. So Christ said, "I acknowledge that in the world you have affliction, in the world you have tribulation. But I also want you to know that's not the last answer, because I have overcome the world. And because I've overcome the world, I'm giving you a peace that you can't get in a troubled and broken world." How do I obey this command? I have to be honest with you. The pursuit of peace is a new, it's a new discipline for me. I don't know how, but somewhere in my life, I began to think that peace was a condition for people who didn't want to compete. It was a refuge for people who didn't want to struggle through life. I've changed my mind. That's wrong thinking. Reading the Bible has caused me to see that peace is a strength, not a naivete. So if I want to obey this command to not let my heart be troubled and to live in peace, how do I do it? I want to recommend these things. One, I need to recognize and name my lack of peace. This is something I've started practicing. When I become aware that I have anxiety, because when I become aware that I'm troubled, I take a minute and I sit down and I make myself name what's troubling me. So, the fear of what I can't control. I feel like something's out of my control, and because it's out of my control, I feel anxiety over it. So I begin by saying, I recognize that I've lost my peace because I don't think I can control this. The second thing I do is I seek the peace that Christ releases in his presence. I acknowledge that I don't have a sense of peace, that I feel anxiety. And the reason I feel anxiety is something is out of my control. All right. Now I sit down and I quiet myself and I seek the presence of God. And when I sense his presence, I simply say to him, "I am acknowledging to you that I have lost my peace, and that my thoughts are oppressive and my emotions are upset, and anxiety is where peace belongs. And I'm asking you for the peace that you give. Dear Christ, you promised that you would release peace to me and that you would give peace to me. Now here I am in your presence saying, I need your peace." The fourth thing is learn the personal skill of seeking peace. Peace is doesn't always come to us naturally, so we need to develop this personal skill of seeking peace. For me, it looks something like this. I have to calm myself physically. I have to sit quietly in a chair. Or stand quietly in the back patio. I have to say to myself, I am not going to repeat these thoughts in my head again and again and again and again. I'm interrupting that right now. And to replace those thoughts, I'm going to remind myself of what I want to think. So I might quote this verse to myself. Peace I release to you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and don't be timid. And I will repeat that to myself as many times as I have to, that my thought patterns aren't stuck on the one thing. And then I say to God again, I pray for your peace. I'm opening my heart to your peace. If there's something I'm doing that is destroying my peace and you could help me, please do. I learn the personal skill of seeking peace. And then finally, number five, value and give thanks to God for his peace. When you feel his peace, that's the time to say, I value this. This is important to me. It's meaningful to me. Dear God, thank you for this gift. Christ gave a second command. The first is don't let your heart be troubled. The second is don't be afraid. The actual Greek word is more like faint-hearted or timid. Don't let yourself be faint-hearted and timid. You see, the lack of peace makes us faint-hearted and ready to give up too soon. We lose our peace. We get stuck on oppressive thoughts. We're driven by bad emotions. We have anxiety. We have no sense of calm. And so we give up on important things before we should. And we wouldn't give up on them if we had peace. So Christ says, don't let yourself be faint-hearted. The lack of peace also makes us timid. We're unwilling to try hard things. Because I have anxiety, because I'm thinking oppressive thoughts, because my emotions are misguided, because I don't have calm, I don't have tranquility, I'm not willing to try the hard thing that God wants me to try. I'm not willing to try to apologize and create peace with someone I love and that they're important to me. I'm not willing to do the extra effort to be pleasing to God. Without peace, I become timid, and when I'm timid, I'm not willing to try the hard things with Christ that he wants me to try. And so he says, I've given you the peace you need. Now you make the effort to replace your timidity with my peace. How do I obey this command? Well, I recognize and name my timidity. I simply say to God, I'm sorry, I'm too afraid to try this for these reasons. I'm afraid to apologize because the person won't accept my apology. I'm afraid to apologize. They'll take advantage of me in the future. I confess to God my timidity. And then, step two, I go through the process of replacing my timidity with God's peace. I seek the calm and tranquility of God's presence, and I ask his peace to displace my timidity. Another idea I want to share is, it's easier to practice and maintain peace than to get it back once you've lost it. So I need to be saying to myself, what are the things in my life that help me practice and maintain peace so I don't become disconnected from it so quickly? And then one more time, I have to say to God, I value your peace more than my timidity. I value your peace more than my faint-heartedness, and I give thanks to you that you're doing this good work in me. Peace is a gift, and Christ gives us that gift. But peace is also a skill, a Christian skill, that I develop in obedience to the command of Jesus Christ. Christ invites us to a life of peace, freedom from anxiety and oppressive thoughts and emotions. And then he works through this peace to bless the world around us. You see, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." When Christ's peace is changing my nature and my character, I become a valuable tool in his good work in the world. When I'm angry, when I'm anxious, when I lose my calm, I'm not able to serve God the way he deserves to be served. And so peace is a wonderful gift of God to me, and it's a wonderful gift of God through me to a broken world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I value peace in a new way. And I pray for the peace that Christ releases and that Christ gives. I pray for the strength to overcome my inner anxiety. I pray for the strength to overcome my own faint-heartedness and timidity. And then I pray that as these things happen, your Spirit would work through me to make the world a better place. And I ask it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you everyone for joining us today. Be sure to tune in next week to our Christ Church Kids program at 9 a.m. via Facebook or live stream.
Thanks everyone. See you next week.